Hello everyone, welcome back. My name is Arna Sahu, host of Arna's News, where on this podcast channel, I aim to eliminate the gender gap in the STEM fields by featuring inspiring female professionals and highlighting their stories and accomplishments to further encourage girls.
Today on episode 40.
And once you have that, and start really and double down on it, hone in on it, practice. And even, you know, and then put threat and put your effort and practice and to get it better and better. So once you figure out that your superpower, you can build your career, all kinds of different career around your superpower. And then they will positively reinforce each other. So that will be my advice, is know that. And so know what you like and what your superpower is, what you can do better, and then build your find opportunities surrounded to get you, make yourself shine.
Today on episode 40, I'm pleased to announce our guest, Diane Eldridge. As a worldwide business development leader in industrial AI/ML at AWS, and also a part of the advisory board for Women's Energy Network Houston, she's a senior leader with more than 20 years of experience in global product management, go-to-market strategy, marketing, business development, operations, and profit and loss management. She has overseen a multi-hundred-million-dollar manufacturing portfolio in Italy, China, and in the U.S. She has a track record of generating profitable growth through successful management of cross-functional and multicultural organizations. So thank you so much, Diane, for being here today. Before we dive into the questions, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Well, you did a great job, Anna. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for having me. I think you did a great introduction of me, but in a summary and very quickly about myself, I'm basically a engineer turned business executive and working in multiple industries in manufacturing, engineering, and energy, and also now big tech. So that's basically about me. I am also a immigrant, a mother, a wife. So I also have a family, and so I'm a working mother.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Diane. Mm-hmm. And my first question for you is, tell us a bit about your career path.
Sure. So like you heard, I have, so I'll start with my background in my academic background. So that will lead to what kind of career I've had. Okay. I have, three degrees from three different countries, because as an immigrant. So I have an engineering degree from China. I also have a bachelor of commerce degree from Canada. And eventually I had a master business degree MBA from US, from UT Austin. So I have this academic background. So you can see, I basically, like I said, turned from engineer to business executive. So that was my academic background. So career-wise, on the big picture, I worked in two industries basically so far. I have about 25 years working since I got out of school. So out of this 20 plus years a career, I had two big buckets of career. One is in global manufacturing. The other one is in big tech, high tech, which is a current job. So my current, I'll start backwards from current one, go backwards a little bit about my career. Currently, in the past 2 years or so, I work for Amazon Web Services. It's Amazon's high tech business unit. It's the cloud business unit. So I joined 2 years ago. My job scope basically, I work in global business development and go-to-market strategy for industrial AI/ML. What does that mean? It means that, you know, how in Amazon, we have a lot of technologies we developed and we use it ourselves, and then that people actually experience in their daily life. When you deal with Amazon, so we have robots, we have private 5G, fast internet connection, we also have cloud computing, and we also have in my area artificial intelligence and machine learning. We use these technologies, and a lot of it, and we started to use it in our own operation. The reason people around the globe can actually receive, let's say, a random a Q-tip you order and you can get it within a day, that was all because of technology. So one out of these technology, what we do is, once we use these technology ourselves and we gain great efficiency, and we thought, okay, what can we do to use this technology to use it for other business in other operations in the world, other customers? It could be people making cars, it could be people making drugs and medicine, it could be people doing education or do NFL football games, and we can use this technology for all these different businesses. So my job is look at this technology and see how do we apply to for the industrial space. Basically, how do we make factory run better, faster, and things like that. So that's my current job. Before this, the reason I got this job is because I had 20 years in the global manufacturing. So I worked in 9 different jobs in this space, and almost every kind of function you can imagine. I started as a application engineer on the factory floor. I also worked, like I said, 20 years in that particular industry. I lived in 3 different countries because I was a global executive, so I was moving around. So I traveled the world with it and made a lot of friends and colleagues around the world. So I absolutely loved that job. I learned a lot in that career. So that's kind of in a nutshell, it's my career in these two verticals, I would say, in the business awards.
That's really exciting. I love how passionate you are about your job. That's really, really impressive.
Thank you.
And my next question for you is, what advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours? Do you have any tips to succeed?
That's an interesting question, especially I'm thinking of people that as young as you and then just starting thinking about a career. My biggest advice is not to, because things are changing so fast, and as you can see, it's no longer, my parents and myself have this 20-year career in one area, or sometimes even with one company. I no longer think it will be true anymore. And as you younger people, as my daughter, and as you go starting your career, I think people will have a lot of could potentially have different careers, right? And so my biggest advice is do not stop thinking about, do not buck sort of a pigeon wholesale in, put it in a corner, say, I have this one career, I want to be a doctor, or even as an astronaut. Like, if you look at them, they did multiple different jobs. So my advice is not put yourself in a box for one type of career, because things will change, technology will change. So the second thing is, as you're thinking about that, is the important thing is career can change, technology can change. You are the one that your capability, and basically we call it the personal capital, as you build up your capability, that's yours forever. Once you gain a particular skill or capability, that's yours forever. So my advice is find your superpower as early as possible. What that means is that everybody has superpower. This is at Amazon, when we do performance evaluation, when we evaluate one person over the other, we don't say, what's this employee's weakness? What is this person's strength? We say, what is this person's superpower? Meaning that what you can do better than everybody else, We all have that special that we know. It could be you're very good at organizing. It could be you're very good at communication. And you know, we think back, even as a student, you know, and certain things that we go to, it's our personal brand. You, for certain things, you go to that person, right? And so you recognize that what you're good at and figure that out as soon as possible. And once you have that, and start really and double down on it, hone in on it, practice. And even, you know, and then put threat and put your effort and practice and to get it better and better. So once you figure out that your superpower, you can build your career, all kinds of different career around your superpower. And then they will positively reinforce each other. So that will be my advice, is know that. And so know what you like and what your superpower is, what you can do better, and then build your a fine opportunity surrounded to get you, make yourself shine.
The first part, what you said about don't stick to just one thing, that kind of resonated with me because I'm a really stubborn person. And when things don't go my way, I get really frustrated. So I have this whole plan of mine that you have to do this. And if that's not the case, then you're basically screwed. But it's okay if you just move around what you want to do. It's okay to just not force yourself to do one thing. It's okay to change.
Yes.
Yeah. And my next question for you is, what is a common myth about your profession that you want to debunk?
So I'm an engineer. I started as an engineer. So I'm a, and then in the STEM field. The one of the common thing, the STEM, you know, the one of a common sort of a misconception, especially for girls, they think to be science, technology, math, and in this area in engineering, and they think that it's boring. It's not, right? Because and then so they will, so they think it's boring and they think it's hard. So what I want to make sure that debunk that is, and also you have to have, and the other second myth is you have to have a engineering degree to work in the technology field. You do not. So those are the two things I'll explain a little bit. The first thing is it's boring. I tell you, it's probably the most exciting and fascinating thing. So if you look around, I'm in my office, let's say a chair, right? So engineering and an interesting thing is everywhere. Let's say we want to make a chair, and then to actually you think about that's a lot of engineering is in there. So your first thing, you have to have a design, right? So engineer will design it. What is a good way to design this chair that's ergonomically suitable for a person and then would make people comfortable? So that require engineering knowledge. Okay. And then if you design a chair and then look the, you know, look cool, and then it's a very good design that people look at that they want to buy. So there's this design that you could do. The second thing is what kind of material do you want to make this chair? Right. And then to know what kind of material is good to be stable and everything, you need to have engineering knowledge, chemistry and math, and you need all this to make sure, okay, and you can figure out what material to go in this chair. And then you think about, as a business person, if you're really good to think, where are we going to make it, how much are we going to sell it, you know, how do we sell it? Do we sell it at home? Do we sell it at Costco, or do we sell it online, and do we sell it at Amazon? There's all kinds of strategy going into it, just how do we sell. So from a idea of a cool idea of a product, any product, it could be an iPhone, it could be a earpod, it could be simple as a chair, right? And then you can see that there's a stem in there from materials to engineering to design and to a supply chain and all that. It goes through all this way and to all the way to go to consumers. How do you market this thing, right? And come up with a message so people buy your chair, not your competitor's chair. So all these require, if you have a technology and I have that degree, and you would do a much better. So there's all kinds of exciting, interesting things in this value chain that you could do. So it's absolutely not boring. The second thing is you have to have a degree, an engineering degree, to work in the STEM field. You do not, because you can do marketing, you can do sales, and you can do, you know, business development, and like what I'm doing right now, talking to customers, right? So, and you can go, so that's, there's all kinds of things that you can do In the STEM field, if you really, really do not like engineering and you get a degree and you can still work in the STEM field, it could be still very exciting. So those are the two myths I want to debunk.
Yeah, I think it's really important to know that in STEM, it's not just science, technology, engineering, and math. There's so many other things that go into making a design, making a product, building a product. Like, it's so creative. There's like the collaboration, there's like the creative, like thinking. There's like so many different places
Yes.
in STEM, and not a lot of people know about that, especially onlookers. And also, with the degree part, I think that's really important to know because once you get out of college or something, you see how like the STEM industry is much like more high paying and it's really competitive. And
Yes.
if you don't have that type of degree, you might get discouraged, but it's okay to know that you don't really need the degree. You just need the attitude to want to do it. And I think that's really important to know.
Yes. Yes, I completely agree.
And if you could step into my shoes or your younger self, what would you have asked yourself that I didn't?
That's a very interesting question. I need to think about that a little bit. So, one of the things that as a young when I was your age, I always one of the biggest thing that you ask yourself and what other people ask you is what do you want to do when you grow up? And after this, I already have my own kids just graduated from college, and it's interesting. I'm a grown person and being in the profession for 20 some years, I am still asking that question today. So that goes to the earlier theme that we think that everything keeps changing. So instead of just say when you actually ask the questions about what do you instead of saying what do you want to do with your career, I would try to say what do you want to do with your life? What do you want to accomplish in your life? And because career is kind of only what kind of person you want to be. And this is actually a lifelong question. It's not the beginning of a career and when you're a kid. And then so once you answer that question and you just go on that path, right? So I want to emphasize this, that there's a new way of thinking about what you want to be when you want to grow up. And then also instead of when people talk about career, it's a big portion of a person's grown adult identity, personal identity. I'd say I'm a mother, I'm a sister, I'm a daughter, and also I'm an engineer and then I'm a business manager. So and when you think about a career, you think about with used to use this word a career ladder. And I think that's no longer true anymore. So when you ask people the question is this did your life turn out the way you thought it'd be? I bet a lot of people said it's different because the life is changing. The other thing about career ladder to think about this is instead of thinking climbing a ladder, once you say a ladder, you naturally think you go one step after another. But I think because of life is changing, it's there's a new theory, and then from Harvard Business Review, which say that you think about your career as instead of a ladder, it's a linear as a serving wave. Think about you carrying it and standing on the beach and carrying a surfboard and ready to surf, and you're waiting for the and then in the meantime you practice, you have the enough skill. When there's a big wave come up, you actually have enough skill to jump in and catch it and go high, right? So that's when we said build up your skill and superpower and then serve the wave. But sometimes things change and people got laid off and then pandemic happened. There's even war going on. So what you do is if you build up your skill, if there's no wave going on in this, change the beach. So I think in that way of a mindset of thinking, and then as you're thinking about career and what's a future, what you want to be when you grow up, I think that will be a better frame of mind to think about to have this kind of discussion.
I like that frame of mind because when you're not in that career actively or profession, as a kid, you're always taught, what do you want to be? What title do you want to have? But changing that type of, as you said, frame of mind, it's really important to know that your lifelong happiness and your lifelong dreams and everything, they're kind of more important than what you have to be currently because they will be in your future. So that is also something to think of.
And the other thing for especially for girls that sometimes we also look around and that they worry that they think there might be a conflict between do I want to be mother or do I want to be have a career, and that's another thing that I want to make sure that you people think you can have. What you can't have all, you can't have it all. You might not be able to have it all at the same time, but life is a long journey, and you probably sometimes you run, sometimes you walk, sometimes you focus on one thing and let the other one go. But yeah, so but you can't have it all, might not be able to have it at the same time, but you do need to think about those things rather than if you do, especially if you do eventually want a family and to be a mother. But that's a so some people will think about maybe I don't want to be so I don't want people to think about if I want to be a mother, maybe I should just not think about a career. I think you can think both.
Yeah, I think so too. And my next question for you is, what are the best resources slash books that have helped you find your career path?
So I'm going to be maybe it's not the best answer, but actually I would say the best is what you're doing right now is actually talking to people. There are plenty of books, and but I think in this day and age, because things change so fast, when you you can get inspired to read very famous people's biography and everything, but I'm not a self-help book person. I think the best way, and especially a lot of young people actually downplay this, is just like what you said, what you're doing right now. Reach out, talk to people that's already it's been doing it, and they have such everybody have such valuable advice. And then there's the great advantages is you when you actually talk to people, you can talk to coaches, you can reach out like you said, reach out and look at LinkedIn and look at people, real people, maybe have a YouTube channel or have a video on TikTok even. And then so you see people on TikTok and say, ask people, say, what do you do for a living? And then what do you have any advice? And that those are real people and they actually have real advice. So I highly and then do not underestimate your own parents, your own aunt and their friends or their classmates, and maybe they have schoolmates, and if you have those opportunity, ask questions. You'd be surprised how willing people are to share their learning, their experience, their advices, right? So so to get advice, I would say try to get some courage and then just talk to people has done it.
Yeah, I really love those videos on like TikTok and Instagram where they actually ask people. Yes. But when I was in this position like 3 years ago, when I first reached out to like a lot of people on LinkedIn, it was a really daunting task. Like I was a 12-year-old and I didn't really know how to talk to people because these people were so experienced and professional. And I was just like a little middle schooler. So it's really hard to talk to people, but I feel like once you make that break and you just do it, you don't care about what's going to happen, because what's the worst thing that will happen? I mean, someone's just going to say no, or they're just going to read your message. But if someone does agree and respond back, then you can get so much valuable insight. It's like insane.
Yes. Yes. No, no. What you're doing is amazing. I applaud the courage. And then and you're so articulate. So no, I can't wait to see what happened to you, Arna.
Aw, thank you. And my next question for you is, what do you think is a vital factor that shaped your career? What was your life before learning it, and what was your life after learning it?
So as an immigrant woman growing up in China, and then I'm making a living in the West using a second language, I would say, and one of the big thing for me, and I think is true to all people, is make sure you focus, learn how to communicate. So it's like what you said, and then talking to people, talking to strangers. This is a very daunting, like you know, even you don't have English as a second language issue like when I started, it's very daunting. But you and a lot of people are not extroverted, right? And this is very hard for introverted people, but there are but you can train yourself to do this, because a lot of the great leader are introverted. But you can see, like, you know, you could, but you can see them speaking on TED stage and TED Talk stage and or on conference stage or being interviewed. Those are training. They're introverted people, but they learned, they practice, and they train. Why it's so important to learn, make sure you learn how to communicate is, you know, that's when, regardless what you're going to do, if you can't communicate, you can spread your own ideas. You can't even get credit for the work that you've done. And you cannot explain to people up and down to get funding for what you want to do. Or if you become and to be a, you want to be make decisions, you have to be able to lead. You have to be, if you want to lead, be a leader, you have to be able to communicate. A lot of people underestimate the power of to practice that early on. And there's a lot of other multiple ways to do it, like what you're doing, or even just, you know, start you know, recording some TikTok video, not published, but by yourself, and just learn how to talk or go to Toastmaster or whatever. Learn how to do that. I think that's a really, really important skill. And then build up your confidence. Once you do that, get out of your shell. And then you once, like you said, once you've done it a few times and you know, I can do this. And then you will build up your confidence and will have a positive cycle. Because a lot of you can learn a certification, you can learn how to code, you can all those, you know, classes and skill can you can do them. But if you don't do this, focus on how to communicate early on, you might end up not be able to reach your full potential, meaning that to be a leader or to get a conference slot to be to speak, to get that research funding to do something very big, important, and all these require communication. Doesn't matter what you do, so get that. Practice that. And if you are introverted, you don't think speaking is your way, there's because of the current technology, learn how to blog. If you feel good at writing, right? And then learn how to communicate using writing, right? And then that's a really interesting way to communicate too. And then so if you can do that, and that, like I said, find your superpower. What is your best, you know, a most comfortable way to communicate, and use that to be a thought leader. And on the internet, you can do that. I've seen people doing that, right? But learn how to communicate.
Everything grounds down to communication. And as an introvert myself, like it's pretty hard to talk to people, but I feel like it's in your head. Like I go by the quote, fake it till you make it. And I mean, I kind of did fake it, but then I guess I didn't make it. Anyways, that quote is kind of weird, but I think that's really true though, because it's really hard to talk to people like the first time you reach out to someone. But as you train your mind, as you said, you start to get better and better, and you learn what your mistakes and shortcomings are, and you can just build off of them and just, you know, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, the other thing is, on it's a, you know, all, with all these a buzz AI is doing, and then they might replace a lot of jobs and everything. One thing, you know, it won't go away is you, regardless what's happening in the technology field and what you can do, you always need to work with people because, you know, we're human society. So to work with people, you need, so to if you, the better you know how to communicate and then how to work with people, the better a career you will have, and then the more resilient you are, because you know, machine and then to do the human being interactions and to have a feel and to work with other people, machine is just assistance, and it's not going to be replace you to do this, you know. So not going to replace people, shake hands, look you in the eye, and then just have a real you know, a conversation with heart and soul and feel, right? So machine won't be able to do that. And that's what human beings, you know, they cannot take away from a human being. And that's why you need to practice that.
Yeah, definitely agreed. And because we have some additional time, my next question for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career path?
Two things. One is I wish I knew earlier to not be too shy and ask for help. Ask for to try to find mentor and find people that can help you. So I think if I knew that early on and tried to find sponsors, find mentors that might be can save me some time to figure out some by myself, right? That's one thing. The other thing I wish I knew earlier is the power of networking, to make sure you continue to build that, especially professionally, to build that network, because what we call it, the power of weak ties, is not that you go find a group of best friends and just that those are your friends. The professional network is the, sometimes we call it loose ties. It could be very powerful for business connection, for a job information, for research funding, for speaking engagement. So these are the people that you know. And then you can give and take and help each other to build that network. That could take a long time. So that's thing that those are the two things I wish I know earlier.
Yeah, and it kind of goes back to the communication part. Like building your own professional network can help build your support system, and finding a mentor can actually help you get so much valuable insight and can help you actually with decisions in the future. I think that's really important to know and to try to do as of now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I want to say something about a mentor, and people maybe feel a little bit awkward. Mentor is not every, you just walk up to someone. It's kind of like dating. You need to find each other to find the right energy, because you can't just walk up to someone and say, can you be my mentor? It's very awkward. It's kind of cringe. And that's not the right way to do it. You want to feel, see if you match each other's energy. Because when you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for advice and help. And what the mentor is looking for is they're people looking for people. What they got out of this actually get a satisfaction by helping people they like. So you do need to match each other's energy and like. So you need to take a little bit of time. Might take a while to find the right mentor. And you can have multiple mentors, because you can have mentor to do certain things in this area. You can also find mentors on that area. But in the long term, and to what you want to do is to build up a personal advisory board for you. So you have immediate four or five people that give you advice on certain things. Maybe for you, it could be school selections, or like, you know, career direction selections, right? And some sort of advice, or internship, or you feel, you know, imposter syndrome, you don't know what to do, and you feel you had some major failure. So those are the things. So you can have multiple mentors, and then take some time to find them, and then to search them, and then to match up with the right people.
Yeah, you give knowledge and you take knowledge.
Yeah.
Okay. And my next question for you is, how do you continue to learn in order to stay on top of things within your role?
I think you, not everybody, actually do this, but you have to. And most success people I've met so far are curious people. So you want to, once you find those people, and those are the ones that you want to stay close to, because they're going to be successful. And then they're sort of relentless. So the curiosity, stay curious. I think that's very important. And then once you are a curious person, and I always try to listen to podcasts. I read a lot and talk to a lot of people, and follow interesting newsletters and everything. And then any use all kinds of different media, either listen or read or pop up or whatever. I try to keep up to date. It's very, very important you continue to do that to stay current.
Yes, the curiosity can help you build your passion in what you're doing, and can also help you find some cool knowledge that you probably didn't know of before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
if you have the chance, travel.
Yes.
I can't say enough about, I'm passionate about that, to see travel. If you have the chance or opportunity and capability, travel.
All right, I will keep that in mind. And my last question for you is, do you have any quotes or mottos that you love to follow and would like to share?
I love this very simple one from Steve Jobs, in his one of his speech is stay hungry, stay foolish. I love that because again, I go back to curiosity and the keep pursuing and whatever is out there. And then a foolish in my mind is you know, I my own backgrounds, my mom, and then was growing up in Indonesia, and then she, you know, and an island that didn't ever have high school, and girls don't go to high school, and she became, you know, graduate in of an engineering degree and retired as engineer, and so she's foolish enough to think about that. And I grew up in China, and then I barely spoke English, but I was foolish enough to think, oh, maybe I want to come to US and or Canada and try to build a career in the West, right? So I think if you have that little bit of foolishness and then courage to try, and then curiosity and continue to do that, and then life will give you such good surprise and as you go along. And then I, you know, like right now, I think I look at my life and look at my career and everything. I, if my mom's still alive today, and she'll be so surprised I actually get to this point, because I think it's beyond both of our dreams. So so yeah, so I think so that's a call I really, really like. It resonates with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Have big dreams. And yeah. Before we end off, would you like to say any last words to the audience?
If you're a girl, please, please, seriously take STEM's career seriously and have a look at that. Have a look into a different type of STEM career. There's so many. There's Society of Women Engineers, and there's a Women Energy Network. There's all kinds of, and just go on LinkedIn and look out for people and see what they're doing. And then so you can have a visual of what can be, what people can achieve, right? So please give a serious think about STEM careers. I can't say enough because how important that is. We need more women and girls in the STEM field.
Thank you for tuning into Arna's News, where we aim to inspire and empower women in STEM by featuring the stories of successful female professionals in the industry. Today, we had the pleasure of hearing from Diane Eldridge, a worldwide business development leader in industrial AI/ML at AWS, and also a part of the advisory board for Women's Energy Network Houston, who shared three valuable pieces of advice. One, it's important to realize the value of seeking help and mentorship and to shed any inhibitions that may prevent you from doing so. Two, the significance of networking cannot be overstated. And three, as we grow up, we're often conditioned to accept certain phrases without questioning them, but it's crucial to examine these sayings critically and disassemble them to understand their true meaning and relevance in our lives. Thus, that concludes episode 40. If you want to know more about how I relate to these amazing topics, then stay tuned for upcoming episodes. A free way to support this show is by leaving it a 5-star rating and a review on the player you are listening to. Let me know what you enjoy about this podcast, as it's a chance to tell me what you love about the show and helps others discover it too. Once again, thank you for finding me, and I hope we stay in touch with each other. Dito, you're listening to Arna Sahu, the host of Arna's News. Toodles!